Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
After the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communication Studios. Whoo! This is as a sports radio host, this is what you live for, folks. This is what you do it for. Sure, talking about games is fantastic and storylines, but every once in a while, a guy will come along and just throw a grenade up in the air. And then another guy will bat that grenade right back. And then it's this wonderful explosion of just absolute nonsense and chaos. All right, so we have Nick Saban. Nick Saban, obviously a legendary coach. But feeling some pressure, feeling the burn, you know, with some of these teams out recruiting him. And he's saying, hey, listen, it's not fair. He's talking about Texas A&M in particular. Here's what he had to say about the program, and then we'll also get some firebacks, too, from Jimbo Fisher. Here's Nick Saban.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
All right, so Nick Saban says that Texas A&M bought everybody on their team this year. That's why they have the number one recruiting class. What else did he have to say? Let's go to that.
Coach, I'd like to respond to some comments made last night in Alabama.
Yes, I would. First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable.
Okay, sorry. Restart. That's Jimbo. I thought you had one more from Nick Saban. Nick Saban also calls out Deion Sanders, too, the stud that they got last year, who last year he said, oh, great job by Deion, and he's a great guy. They're in the Aflac commercials together, and he did some deep recruiting on this kid, blah, blah, blah. Well, now he's saying he paid him $1 million. Listen, I'm not saying, or he didn't pay him, but they got him $1 million. I'm not saying that he didn't, but Nick Saban kind of changes his tune there. Here's Jimbo Fisher. Okay, now we'll go to the. Here's Jimbo Fisher in response to what Nick Saban had to say.
I'd like to respond to some comments made last night in Alabama.
Yes, I would. First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. That they're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. And it's ridiculous, but when he's not on top. And the parody in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. We're doing a heck of a job. These coaches have done a great job. Our players have done a great job. The whole organization of recruiting people. It's despicable that we got to sit here at this level of ball and say these things to defend the people of this organization, the kids, 17-year-old kids, and their families. It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past.
All right. There's Jimbo Fisher on Nick Saban. Now, all of these things are interesting here. Here's where I come out on this. Smitty said I need to have like a host a debate between these two. I like NIL stuff. I'm for it. I'm not for using it as a recruiting tool. Did Texas A&M pay all their guys? Did they get a booster to come in here and pay all their guys? I don't know. It's hard for me to believe they paid all of them. But is that going on? Are boosters and businesses, is it being known that a player is interested in a school and a booster pledge or whatever is brought up? And away we go? Yeah, probably. Listen, I don't think Fisher's wrong, and I don't think Saban's wrong. Here's where I am with Nick Saban, though. Fisher's right about this. Like, Nick Saban saying things like, oh, you know, this is good. I don't know if we're going to be able to keep up. Boo freaking who, Alabama? I mean, come, okay, you don't think that, I don't like to say this because I don't have any proof, but you don't think that Nick Saban and at his time at Alabama has ever done anything a bit sketchy, a little cheaty? You don't think so?
I mean, there are way too many rumors.
Way too many rumors. And this industry, man, it's just, I was thinking about this a lot this morning, just going back and forth about this whole thing. And this industry is kind of jacked up. I mean, it is a billion, I don't know about billion, but multi-million dollar industry. Schools like Alabama can bring in anywhere, what? Didn't Alabama football bring in like $25 million or $26 million in 1 year? Something like that. Is that right? Am I way too high? It's close, right? I just, when you put in the amount of money that is here, that's when things start to get a little crazy. And I'm thinking about ticket revenue. Let's see. Look at this. Oh, my goodness. I had $33 million. Alabama's insane $33 million profit from football. $33 million for their football program. That's the problem. Do I think that $33 million should be split up with players? No. I don't. I don't think the school should pay these guys. I never thought that. But to allow them to go out and get endorsement deals, I always liked the idea of it. Is it my fault that college football is abusing that? That boosters are abusing that? The teams are abusing that? No. That is college football. When there's this much money out there and not everybody is getting a piece of the pie, these things tend to happen. This should have been done 20 years ago. It's just absolutely insanity. Now you have Nick Saban bitching about it when they should have put their arms around it 20 years ago. And now it's not fair. And Jimbo Fisher's not wrong when he says things like, because he's not on top, he has to complain about it, and it's unfair. Well, go dig up his closet. What else you got from Jimbo Fisher? You have that line about him, you know, thinking he's God, essentially.
People think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable.
Well, Fisher did coach under Saban, what, in the early 2000s, right, in LSU? So might know something there. Listen, you guys don't – the ones that are against this NIL stuff, it's crazy because it's like – do you realize Rick Pitino has a job? He's still coaching college basketball. Sex parties at Louisville were going on under his nose during his watch at a dorm on campus. And Rick Pitino is still coaching college basketball. Not for Louisville, but still coaching college basketball. Because of sex, there were sex parties going on. It was clearly thought wrong enough to fire him, but then he gets another job. I don't understand how that works. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043.
You want to know how little I respect Nick Saban for this? Nick Saban complains about this stuff, but he is the highest paid government official in the state of Alabama. More than the governor.
This is why it's so ridiculous to hear this. And listen, I get it. They're being paid in scholarships. The student athletes are being paid in scholarships, which is just, it's just interesting to
me. How many students use their scholarships?
That's the thing. I've had this debate so much in the last 10 years. Scholarships are great if you want one. But if you're a stud at football and they want you, then that's what you're there to do. You're there to play football. And then, oh, by the way, you got to go to classes and learn and stuff. But then as soon as you can get out the door, you're out the door. Some aren't. Some want to go to school. Some want to come back and graduate. Not everybody's the same way.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. A lot of them will get a degree in poetry or clay making.
It's weird.
What do they do with it? They end up being...
clay making. There's a lot of money in that now.
Yeah, well, how many NFL players have not used their degree? They end up being insurance agents, which is a fine career.
Which is a fine career, but how many people go to? I mean, I went to UNC, and I enjoyed my time there. But am I going to tell you right now that every class I took was like, oh yeah, thank God I had that class. Thank God I had a rock class. Like I took literally the history of rock, and then. What is the study of rock? See, I don't even freaking know.
It's not the history of rock and roll.
I took both.
Oh,
I took one was the history of rock and roll and one was rocks.
Okay, so one was useful and the other one was about minerals.
Yeah. I can't even tell you what the study of rocks is. What is it? What's the term?
I don't know.
Geology?
Maybe.
Okay. See, I had to tell you, I had to define what this rock was. What this rock was. When am I going to use that? Again,
if you're trying to pick someone up at a bar, but that's it.
That's why. How would I pick anybody up at a bar?
If she's really into rocks,
style of mineral this is.
Hey, if you're one of those guys,
in my pocket.
If you're one of those guys who likes to brag about his broad knowledge but doesn't really have any,
that is definitely not me. That is definitely not me. I am not. I'm like Ben Affleck in Good Will Hunting.
Yeah,
I'm definitely I don't know.
I was referring to YouTube knowledge. The guy who goes on to YouTube, learns a bunch of different things, and then vomits it out in front of people to impress them.
This is such a bad look for Nick Saban. This is a terrible look for him. Listen, and I'm not denying that Texas A&M isn't doing this. They're probably doing it. But you mean to tell me that Bama's never done any of this stuff? Bottom line is this. You have to find a way, college, NCAA, to regulate this. You have to find a way to keep this from... You have to keep the boosters from enticing players to come to schools.
Well, I was just looking at this article of all the highest paid government employees around the nation. Scott Frost is making $5 million, and Nebraska ain't doing so well.
See, but this is what I mean.
At least he's not whining about
college it. College football coaches, the coaches, they treat it like a god, and then when we're like... Let the kid go out and earn a deal, a couple of endorsement deals. No. That is the end of college sports as we know it. I'm seeing coaches that were a part of cheating scandals tweet about this is the end of college sports. If it survived you, it's going to survive this. If it survived Louisville sex parties, made up classes at the University of North Carolina, taking classes for student athletes, which happened here in our own backyard, giving cars to Reggie Bush and TVs to Vince Young or Cam Newton, I can't remember. If it survived that, It will survive this. It's just some of you are in your tower. The idea, the audacity of an 18 to 19 to 20 to 21, 22-year-old actually earning money to play college football, which in some cases makes $33 million a year. And they're not even making a piece of that pie. It's a different pie.
Well, I think a lot of people are remembering the days back when college was more relevant. College education isn't as important nowadays as it used to be. Nowadays, people are pushed to go get more college, get your degree. A lot of people don't use their degree. College just isn't what it used to be.
No, and that's the thing. Like, I don't want to knock college, but I get what you're saying.
It's
like,
good for some people. For
it's
others,
it's good for some. It's there, dude. I have so many friends. I do not have so many friends. Let me change that. I have the friends that I have. One of my best friends went to college to teach. He worked in the oil rigs forever and made bank.
Blue collar industry. That's where you want to go.
And he works for CDOT now, and he's making bank. He's doing great for himself. Amazing. He didn't study that stuff. He just found a great job. He has a good work ethic. College or no college isn't going to change the guy that he was. Now, there are plenty of people that really delve in to their degree and become historians and doctors and all of that stuff. Like, and you because you clearly went in. But most of us take history classes, and maybe you enjoy it, but it goes in your brain for packing on for the finals, and then it's out the door. College is just an interesting setup. Eastside Chris, was Saban working with the Bama boosters to pony up if the program wants to win? Well, and some people think that maybe Saban was not necessarily taking a shot, not necessarily making it all about a shot at Texas A&M, but more a shot at his own school by saying, we're not paying guys. We got to get after it here, boosters. How do you regulate this? I can't say it enough, man. The NCAA is mad now that this happened. 20 years ago, here's what should have happened. When the Jeremy Bloom thing was going on, when the NCAA video game was going on and people were talking about getting paid for their likeness, the NCAA should have said, yes, Jeremy Bloom, you're in the Olympics. Why not? Why should you not be able to get an endorsement deal in the Olympics? It's your one time you're ever going to go there. How rare is it to go to the freaking Olympics? And they robbed him of that. And then the video game thing. The NCAA should have said, here's the deal, guys. Any kind of endorsement deal, Olympics or anything else, will go through the school. Jeremy Bloom, are you interested in endorsements for your Olympic deal? Okay, great. Visit our NIL offices at the University of Colorado, and we will walk you through the steps. However, in the bylaws in our school and the NCAA, no NIL deal or endorsement deal is to be constructed without the written consent of our school's NIL process. That's how this should have gone 20 to 30 years ago. But instead, no, they can't make a dime. Johnny Manziel made $45 off a signed autograph. No, you're suspended for a half of football. And now look what you have, because it's not rocket science. Anybody with a brain, with a logical brain, could look at this and go, okay, you're making $33 million off of your football team. That kid can't go get a job, but he has to take your classes. He has to show up for your practices. He has to lift your weights. He has to show up on Saturdays to draw a crowd. And he can't sell his signed shoe? No. Why? Because that's not what college is about. It's not about the money, but you make $33 million a year. Well, yeah, but it's about education for him. It's about money for us over here. But you want him to get educated, and you're raking in $33 million about education over here, but not over here.
Is he working for the college, or is he owned by the college? Because it sounds a lot like ownership.
But they go to class. Wait, you aren't getting paid, but you get to go study your ass off for finals. Huh?
And a lot of those finals irrelevant.
That's what I'm saying, though. It's like you get a degree. Oh, you're going to come give us your heart and soul for 2 to 3 years, whatever. Bust your hump, work out, be on the field, make us money. Oh, and you know what? In return, You better be ready to stock up your brain for finals week, buddy. No excuses. I want good grades from you.
But if someone's caught cheating for you, then you're screwed too.
It's just an interesting debate, isn't it? And it's going to be hard to go back now. Locally here, I don't see it being that big of an issue. I don't think Boulder has that kind of money. I don't think Fort Collins has that kind of money. I don't think Greeley has that kind of money, or at least that they're going to try to put towards athletics. We do NIL deals here. We are not involved before they become a Ram, Bear, or Buff, even. We're not involved in that process. Don't want to be. Texter, wonder what the next Aflac commercial with Saban and Sanders will be about, since Saban included Sanders in the catfight. He did. Threw Sanders under the bus, too. And now Lane Kiffin's going to bat for his boy, for Saban. He shared this tweet. In 2018, 0 5 stars for A&M. In 2019, 2 5 stars. In 2020, 2 5 stars. In 2021, 1 5 star. NIL introduced. 2022, 7 5 stars in the highest rated class of all time. I'm not saying that A&M's not doing it. I'm guessing they're all doing it in some capacity. But let's not kid ourselves. This should have happened years ago. It didn't. And now you are suffering the consequences. For those of you that think the NCAA is ruined, I'm sorry, then that means you're excusing the bullcrap that we put up with for the last however many years. Kids getting paid is ruining college sports, yet sex parties didn't? That's asinine. Making up classes at a school didn't ruin college sports, but yet these guys making money is going to? I'm going to say it last time and then we'll break. If it didn't ruin college sports then, if Louisville sex parties didn't ruin college sports, I don't think quarterback for Texas A&M making $1 million is going to ruin it. Is it the best deal in the world? Is it the easiest to take in? No. But they've survived much worse. We'll be right back.
Insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Weldworks has a new beer every single Friday. They do it every Friday at noon. They got the Annex down there. I was talking to Coach Bruce Dick about some other cool things. They got different games going on down there at Weldworks. Check them out, guys. You probably already have. I'm here to remind you about Dialed In Beer, now offering Dialed In Food. That is Weldworks, and they played host to one of CSU's Ram Roadshow events last week. So, yeah. They're making the rounds. Michael Malone's a big Weldworks fan. Colorado State's a big Weldworks fan. And so am I. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I could talk NIL stuff until I'm blue in the face. But I do have to get to this. And this is very scary news. The Minnesota Timberwolves have emerged as a potential threat to poach Nuggets president of basketball operations, Tim Connelly. A league source told the Denver Post yesterday. The Timberwolves have identified a list of four big name GMs: Oklahoma City's Sam Presti, Golden State's Bob Myers, Toronto's Masai Ujiri, former Nugget, and Connelly, to fill their vacancy, according to a person with direct knowledge of discussions. And the Nuggets' longtime president was deemed the most gettable from a financial standpoint, according to another source, which means Kroenke's not going to pony up. Same issue with Masai Ujiri. Masai wanted a raise the year before he was let go, the year before he won Executive of the Year. The Nuggets gambled and said, let's see how the year goes, and then we'll offer him a contract. Too late. Toronto came calling. Masai Ujiri went running. And it was hard to blame him. He had done a really good job. Remember, he was the guy in charge of the Carmelo Anthony situation. He helped smooth that thing over. Made the Nuggets still a playoff team throughout the process. So what would be the selling point for Tim Connelly? Well, money. It would be tough, though. When does money take a little bit of a backseat? Ever? I guess in some cases, it depends on the person, but man, you're trying to earn. You're trying to make as much as you can while you can at that level. But if you're Tim Connelly, who's done a fantastic job in Denver, wouldn't that just suck to leave and go to Minnesota and then to see the fruits of your labor in Denver finally take off? Finally get to that point, finally get to the Western Conference Finals, maybe even beyond. So I guess you'd have to wonder there, do you want to finish what you started? You have a two-time MVP who is showing no signs of slowing down. You're hoping Jamal and Michael Porter Jr. come back healthy, and then you've got your big three along with Aaron Gordon, your big three and a half. Right now, he is in an option year of his contract. He began in 2013 when Masai Ujiri left to Toronto. Since that point, Conley has built something so unique, man. You know, he hired, he made, moved on from Brian Shaw and hired Conley. Made sure he drafted Nikola Jokic. He's been very stable for this team. Well, is there, again, you got Bones Highland, who was just named second team all-rookie on Wednesday. And now you want to go? I don't know how much validity there really is to this report, but his name is certainly there, and he's the front runner, and he's quote-unquote gettable because Kroenkes won't pay the money. Pay the damn money. Although this is the same organization that can't figure out Comcast and Dish Network. That whole spat still going on.
Kroenkes or Crankies?
Ha! Mysterio says, as a former college athlete, I feel like I'm on the fence with the whole NIL deal. It's a sticky situation. Why? Why are you on the fence? Do you not think athletes should be able to earn on their own, but earn? Now, I agree if you say, yeah, you shouldn't be using them to entice players to go places. I agree there. I'm with you 100%. I also don't think the school has to quote-unquote pay the student-athletes. They are employees, though. Sure. Mysterio wants to call in. Let's bring him in. 970-353-1310 on our First Advantage hotline. I tell you what, let's take a break first. Let's take a break first, and we'll bring the call in. 37 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 AFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications studios. Thanks for hanging on the phone. We got Mysterio, one of our, I'd say, Hall of Famer at this stage. He has graduated to that point, no question. Mysterio's on the First Advantage hotline talking about this NIL stuff, and he's saying, as a former college athlete, I feel like I'm on the fence with the whole NIL deal. Mysterio, why are you on the fence? Talk to me about this.
I feel like it's good for athletes to understand, especially like higher level collegiate athletes. I feel like it's a good thing to kind of teach them what they possibly could be getting themselves into in the professional ranks, right?
Sure.
But yeah. Then I feel on the other hand, I feel that you get smaller schools like a UNC or, like smaller competitive schools throughout the country, that it almost makes it harder for them to recruit some of these better kids, because now you might get a kid that could come into UNC and play basketball or a volleyball player, you know, whatever sport. They could be a decent recruit, but they might get a solid NIL deal to some place, you know, on an East Coast school, and they might start for 1 year, but they're making $500,000.
No,
you know, so I don't know. It's a sticky situation for sure.
You're exactly right. And this is why, don't you think that if the NCAA would have began working on this 30, 50 years ago, whatever, when we first started talking about this, I'm not saying it would have been perfect. It still might have been sticky, but maybe we would. Jay Norvell was on earlier today talking about some potential type salary cap type deal where you put that on schools where really nobody can give any more necessarily, too. So, I mean, we could have been rounding out idea after idea. Instead, we said no, 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 and it goes to the Supreme Court, and we're all or nothing. There was no gradual working up to this point.
I mean, I think you're completely right. I mean, I think, let's say you get a football player that, you know, let's say that he goes to UNC and he's on a full ride scholarship and they're going to pay him for his redshirt year and then four more years after that. Let's just say whole numbers. It's going to cost them in-state tuition. It's going to cost them, I don't know, $80,000. I mean, just speaking hypothetically.
Yeah.
I think as an NIL deal, I think you have to do exactly like what you just said, is you have to come in as the NCAA and you have to set a cap on, hey, like, yeah, you can sign an NIL deal or you can sign 10 NIL deals with different businesses, but you are not allowed to exceed X amount of dollars in profit per se.
Yeah, I mean, like, make a reasonable salary. I mean, we don't have to go millions. We don't even have to go, you know, 20s of thousands. It could be in the, you know, the thousands, the 10,000s range. I think that could have been a realistic thing. But now it's so tough because it does feel like cat's out of the bag. The toothpaste is out of the tube, so to speak.
I mean, I think you're basically transforming collegiate athletics to be, it's basically like semi-pro now. I mean, that's almost like where you're getting at.
You're not 100% wrong. I've even talked about this. The extreme take is, Mysterio, thanks for your call, man. Appreciate you, dude. The extreme take is that you just say, do you want your scholarship or not? And if you don't want your scholarship, great. We'll pay you $20,000. Now, again, I don't know how. That's probably not affordable at a lot of schools, but you may have that option. We have five players every year we can offer a paid-only thing. Because, again, you're not wrong when you say that this is turning into more semi-pro. Well, guess what, folks? There's never been a real semi-pro football. It's always been college. And we've always called it that. But now that the players are making money, perhaps, like a semi-pro player, we're like, wait a second, I don't like it. I get where Mysterio's coming from. I get where a lot of the people that are against this are coming from. Here's Aaron. Completely agree that players should be allowed to get paid. I totally agree that they should not be paid to attend ahead of signing. Problem is, boosters are involved and they have always done shady stuff. Now NIL just makes the previous shady acts legal. And that's the other thing. This was happening already, right? Now it's happening above board. Nick Saban drawing attention to it. Well, we've already been drawing attention to it, but Nick Saban basically saying A&M is paying all their players now. Well, you can't be doing it beforehand. That's what you have to figure out, and I don't know how you do that. You don't. You honestly can't. I don't know that there's hope for it, because I don't think you're ever going to keep a booster unless you lay down the law with all of your boosters. And anybody that wants to is anybody that advertises on your stadium a booster? Is that right? If Crazy Carl's Pizza puts an advertisement on the stadium, does that classify them as a booster?
I don't know. It depends.
Because who owns
the stadium? Does the city own the stadium?
Oh, that's true. But I do think that there was a thing that just came out last week or whatever in college. It was like third party, anybody that's contributing money or whatever. You have to basically sit it down with your boosters and advertisers and say, hey, if we get wind of you trying to entice a student athlete to come here because of your dollars, A, you'll never be able to advertise with us, and you never get any tickets. You'll never get to come to games. You will not be a part of the program anymore. And that's bad for the school.
And it's very bad for the school, especially if it's like the
right
sponsor.
What are you going to do if your number one sponsor, your big business, your big spender, gets caught up in a scandal? And you're like, and that is not even a scandal. What's going to happen to that business? It's not like you can arrest that guy, right?
I mean, there would have to be
a
fine system in place.
Yeah. You'd have to outlaw him. No question. You'd have to outlaw. You can't come to games. You can't be a part of the program. But again, you don't want to lose all of your stuff. Great call. Thanks, Mysterio. Appreciate it. Booster or investor? Yeah, there you go. Same thing. 49 minutes after the hour. We'll finish up on the other side. Can the Avs do it tonight? Absolutely. Going to be a blowout. We'll be right back.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, I just got to read this quickly. Ross Dellinger of SI.com tweeted out, A&M AD Ross Bjork tells SI Now that Nick Saban's comments violate SEC sportsmanship bylaws, and he's been in contact with SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Bjork calls the comments a personal attack and suggests Saban is lashing out because he threatened. This is personal. Oh, tell you what else is personal. That game on Saturday, October 22nd. No. Saturday, October 8th. Alabama playing host to Texas A&M. Oh, boy.
ESPN is going to carry that game. Oh, they will make sure they carry that
that's
game.
That's a huge game. Avs, Blues, tonight. We have game two. I just don't see how Bennington can keep doing this. I don't see it. He was amazing. He did everything right, except for a couple of things. And that's the difference in a hockey game, right? I think the Avs are going to be ripping and roaring tonight. They are minus 1.5. I think they cover. I do. Meanwhile, in the NBA, you've got Boston and Miami. Can Miami go up 2-0 here? It's going to do it for us for the week. I'm going off to see my niece in state track in the 4x1 tomorrow, so I'm pumped for that. And then I'll be back at it on a Monday. Good night, Northern Colorado.